welcome to another episode of The Grind Bin. I'm Mike Wood.
I'm Chris Mann.
Today we're going to be talking about 1978's Malibu Beach.
Malibu, no.
Hey, Bobby, I got the money.
Yeah, I made the team.
You're a hooker.
Get that goddamn thing out of your mouth.
This bookie ain't got no real coach.
Hello, Mr. Man.
We're going to play a little game, baby.
You could have a decent once in a while.
And maybe Daddy would decide to kill himself because he couldn't get it up anymore.
What a shame.
Come on, just step on the gas before we get creepy.
And
so welcome to the first of two episodes in our special one-year anniversary, the Vanniversary. Today we're going to be covering Malibu Beach, which is the unofficial sequel to the first movie we ever covered on this podcast, 1977's The Van, starring Stuart Goetz and Danny DeVito, about a ginger boy who goes around in a big yellow van called a straight arrow and tries to lure women inside of it.
And by all means, don't go back and listen to that episode. It's terrible by today's standards.
Yes, it is, but we keep referencing it on every goddamn episode.
Yeah.
All right, so I was thinking, by the way, we never do this.
Yeah.
We have a voicemail for this show.
That's right.
All you Grindbin listeners, we want to hear from you. We know there are a lot more of you that listen than email and visit us on Facebook and grindbin@gmail.com, visit us on grindhousefilm.com. We know there are a lot more of you. We want to hear from some of you. And, of course, our old listeners who always interact with us. We really, really want to hear from you. Go ahead and leave us a voicemail on our Google Voice, which I have the number here, is 949-328-6741. 949-328-6741. That is the Grindbin voicemail line.
That's right.
You can leave us a message, and we will play some of those on the Vanniversary show.
That's true. You know, you can wish Bobby a happy Vanniversary, DeVito, a big old jug of oil.
Happy Vanniversary, Bobby! And hopefully by then we'll find ourselves a straight arrow die-cast metal toy, which we went through in the last episode, Mikey, and talked about how those exist. We really, really want to track down one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get into it, I just want to give a few little shout-outs for people here that have been very, very kind to the show. One of them is Mike Murphy, who hosts the BB&BC podcast. Mm-hmm. Now, he is like the much better, more intelligent, fact-filled version of this show. Mike Murphy is great. I mean, his show has been around for a long time. He knows his shit when it comes to exploitation movies. He interviews people who make them. I mean, he's great. He's sent us a few messages there on Facebook before. I think he's mentioned us before, but I just want to say thanks, Mike. And if you want to, you really want to get to the more serious side of the exploitation films and learn a little bit more instead of, you know, this show's devolved into mostly for laughs. So
it was going to be something, research worthy in a way.
We
it
still do our
is.
Research.
It
but,
still is, but don't look to us for your college assignment, okay?
No, but his show would be the one. And also, a good friend of ours on Facebook, the amount of information that this man gives us for every episode is staggering.
Yeah.
Randy Porter. Okay, Randy is absolutely incredible. He posts on almost every episode we have there on the Facebook with just insane amounts of information about every movie. Like, it's just too much to even mention on the show sometimes.
He's just a venerable wellspring of knowledge about these subjects.
Like, I am looking right now at his post that he put for the Terrorvision episode.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's got a whole essay worth of information for us. I mean, for example, did you know the guy Spiro, the Greek guy?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'll just give you a little taste of this. Alejandro Rey was best known for the 1960s TV series The Flying Nun with Sally Field. He was born in Argentina and was not at all Greek. Unfortunately, he died of lung cancer in 1987. See, these are just things that he knows that, I mean, goddamn, it's a wealth of knowledge. So if you want to find out more research and stuff about this, just go on our Facebook page and look for Randy's posts. And you know what? Randy also has a podcast
you can listen
to. Randy's podcast is the Intolerable Shenanigans podcast, which he does under his literary alias, Spider McGee. You can also find some of his books on Amazon under Spider McGee, and he has new one coming out soon. And we'll try and get Randy on the show at some point.
That would be amazing.
So he can talk about his books and just give us more of his wealth of knowledge of the exploitation genre.
You know, really class the joint up for us.
Yeah. So thank you so much. And especially on this special part one of the Vanniversary, we wanted to give a shout out to you guys. Mike was posting at us when we were covering Black Devil Doll all the way back then.
That's right.
And he said he'd listen to the episode, and we're honored that he even listened to it. So thank you guys.
All the way through on that one.
that he listened to it all the way through. I can't even believe.
Yeah.
Now we get into the first part of the Vanniversary, Chris.
That's right.
Malibu Beach, the unofficial sequel to The Van. And boy, is that word unofficial used very loosely. So this, by the way, Grindman All-Stars The Movie is
That's
what I
right.
put it as.
Yeah.
This movie has so many references to past films that we have covered. It is literally insane. I'm watching this movie going like, holy fuck. Not only are there places that we've seen before, people we've seen before, and not only just in Crown movies. I mean, there are so many people from other movies in this movie. Locations, people, places, things. It's staggering.
There are literal scenes filmed, cut and pasted into other films that we've covered, such as Beach Girls.
Yes, it's true. Footage from this movie is infamously used in other Crown films. Two of them, actually. Beach Girls and, I believe, Van Nuys Boulevard used that same dog in that movie.
Oh, yeah, huh.
Now, this is where this gets a little crazy, though. Mm. The runtime of this movie for a Crown International movie, which we know are usually a tight 80 minutes... They just don't have enough footage to finish the movie in most cases. Malibu Beach, 96 minutes long.
Wow.
Holy Lord, is that too long for a Crown movie.
Oh, my God.
God damn, do you feel that extra 16 minutes with this one? I mean, holy fuck. Never before has 16 minutes, like...
It's been painful.
Yeah, been so painful to me. Like, there's a point when Crown movies are good, and then, like, I swear to God, once they hit 81 minutes, you're like, okay. We'll find out more. The tagline for this movie, Chris, I wrote this down because it's so stupid. Where the ocean sets the motion. What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know.
You think the guy, Mr. Crown
oh,
himself...
Oh, God.
As somebody said that we should call our producer character, Sean, our good friend Sean, looserounds.com. Sean, I'm sure you'll leave us a voicemail for the next episode. We look forward to it. He told me that we should call the producer character Bobby DeVito, Mr. Bobby DeVito. And I can just imagine him. They got to get this poster out. They got to get it to press. They're like, look, we got the picture. We got the broad with the top off and a back turned. We need something to put up in the corner. What am I going to do?
We can put the release date, maybe.
All right, kid, come on. What do you got for me? What do you got for me? Something with the ocean.
Motion, commotion.
By the way, I like how you're talking like me. That's good. Interns that come in here and emulate what I do, you're bound for success.
Oh, I'm glad you like that. I just might go back.
Shut the get that back. So if you were me, what would you call this movie? Something with the ocean, something with motion?
Malibu Beach.
All right, just put where the ocean sets the motion. I know it doesn't make sense. Don't give me that fucking look, kid. Put it on the poster. You just see a guy walk back and he's like, I wonder what that means.
As they print it at the factory.
You know, it was a last minute decision. Look, trust me, this movie is only playing in two drive-ins, which, by the way, it did. One in, like, Redondo Beach, and the other one was in North Dakota.
Are you serious?
This movie played in two fucking drive-ins around the country.
For how long?
One in North Dakota, which I'm sure was for 6 months, and, and like, Redondo Beach, and that was it.
The premiere was the first and last time anyone heard of these movies.
North Dakota.
How did that reel find its way to North Dakota?
I have no idea.
It sprouted fucking legs? Who the fuck gets it?
So a little bit of trivia for this movie, Chris. James Houghton, who plays Bobby in this movie. Oh, that's right. The main character's name is Bobby. And Kim Langford, who plays Dina, would go on to star in the hit primetime soap opera Knot's Landing in 1979 as Ginger and Kenny just a year after making this movie.
I'll be damned.
Obviously more successful than this. Probably nobody even saw this. And, you know, the guy's sitting around going like, you know, we brought them together first, those kids. Now they're all successful on TV. They would have never been successful if they didn't meet and fuck on Malibu Beach.
That's what he told in every interview. Yeah. He was just calling up news stations being like, you know, this Knott's Landing movie, it wasn't for this movie, this Malibu Beach movie. By the way, North Dakota,
Redondo Beach.
This movie's playing all over the country, Redondo Beach, all the way to North Dakota.
coast, to almost coast.
Coast to you know, what have you. Yeah. I don't really know what's past the northern border, to be honest. They tell me there's another country up there. I ain't never seen it with my eyes, so, you know.
I ain't never seen
the world's fucking round either. For all I know, it's on the back of a big turtle. So here's the last bit of trivia I have, Chris, before we dive into the cast and crew.
Diving in.
The outside of the house that the character Dina lives in is the same house used in The Pom Pom Girls, which is another Crown International movie, which we will be covering at some point. So we get into the crew. Robert J. Rosenthal, who is the director and writer of this movie, he only has 2 directing credits, but 5 writing credits. 1976, he wrote The Pom Pom Girls. 1977, he wrote The Van.
Yeah.
1978, he wrote this movie. So, like, I guess, you know, after that cocktail napkin of a script for The Van, they were like, why don't we make one like it? Make another one, kid. This time will take place on the beach. Everybody, that Van movie, they really liked when they were fucking on the beach. If you could just make a whole movie about fucking on the beach, that would be great.
I have 1 or 2 characters, you know?
We found it's really easy to film down there. Nobody says anything. 1982, he wrote and directed the movie Zapped, starring Scott Baio. And then 1990, he's credited with the characters in Zapped again, but not writing it. And then I look at this and I go, wait, the sequel for Zapped was made 8 years later?
How the hell did that work?
Where were people clamoring for Zapped 2 in 1990? So the other writer, because there's 2 writers of this movie, Celia Susan Coletto. She only wrote 2 movies, Chris. This and The Van. The cast, Kim Lankford, who plays Dina, or as I just refer to as Lifeguard. I didn't even know she had a name. I realized afterwards her name was Dina. She has 38 credits. This was her first movie. She did some TV roles before this. 1979, started acting in Knott's Landing, was in 78 episodes, along with our other character, James Doughton, who plays Bobby. 1980, she was in the movie The Octagon. She kept mainly doing TV. She still acts today. James Doughton, Grindin'
All-Star. Yep.
He plays Scott
Daniels.
Scott Daniels.
Yeah.
In The Beach Girls, which is an infamous character in the lore of the grind bin. We're so glad to have you back, James.
He's a shapeshifter, if you
will. You know, he's just as fucking creepy in this movie as he is in that. So
he is, huh?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Susan Player, grind bin all-star. We didn't mention her on this episode, but she was in Invasion of the B-Girls. She only has 5 credits. She was in another Crown film, which is The Pom Pom Girls.
That's right.
Next person in the cast. Grindman All-Star. Stephen Oliver, who plays Dugan.
Yes.
Now, that's right. His name in this movie is Dugan. And if you're familiar with The Van, you'd know that there was another character named Dugan. Well, for some fucking reason, they decided, well, if we're going to make a sequel to The Van, we should focus on the character that nobody liked, Dugan. Dugan is, like, too much of a main character in this movie. You know what?
He's the only reason any conflict stems out of this movie. Without him, there is no movie. I mean, even with him, there is no movie.
There is no movie. At some point in my notes, I said, I'm pretty sure this was just leftovers of other Crown movies they edited into 96 minutes and just threw on a reel and said it'll open in North Dakota.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
He has 21 credits, lots of exploitation movies. Fortunately, he passed away in 2008 at the age of 66 in Big Bear. You know, when I'm watching The Van, what I always said was, boy, I wish they would have done a spinoff with Dugan.
Dugan ain't no turd. That's what I want to see over and over again.
Are we going to hear that in this movie? Oh, we'll find out. Tara Strohmeyer, Grindman All-Star. Who plays Gloriana in this movie. Our listeners will know her from the Van Nuys Boulevard episode as the waitress.
That's right.
She has 11 credits. She was a fixture in the 70s drive-in fair. 1973, Student Teachers. 1974, Truck Turner. 1974, Dirty O'Neill. And 1974, Candy Stripe Nurses. Her last movie after Van Nuys. Her last movie after Van Nuys, which was her second to last movie, was 1979's The 11th Victim. Last person I have for you, Chris. Another one. Grindbin All-Star.
It's filled to the brim with All-Stars.
Our favorite, Bill Adler.
Yes.
You know what his character's name in this movie is?
What's that?
Vanner.
Yeah.
His name
God.
Is just Vanner. He's in The Van Nuys, The Van, and many, many, many more movies that will be covered on this podcast. Bill Adler is one of our favorite exploitation movie actors. He makes belts now and hats and wallets. Very, very high quality stuff. And apparently, Chris, you said he's a fixture in the hip hop scene.
Yeah,
as well.
He does a lot of documentary work, from what I understand.
Great. Well, Bill Adler, we're big fans. We'd love to have you on the show one day. Let's see if we can get him there for this Vanniversary. Yeah. We should reach out to Bill finally.
Yeah, we're definitely reaching out to somebody else of recent episodes. So we'll see how that goes.
I bet he'll say, excuse me, don't call me Bill, Mr. Adler. Please.
Give me an F, give me an R, give me an E, E, D, O, F. What do you got? Freedom!
Everyone's heading for Malibu Beach, where all you could want is in easy reach. Girls and guys of every style, cars to drive your summer wild, parties getting out of hand, a lot of loving in the sand, skinny dipping every night, and music to make you feel all right.
One, two, three, four.
School is out. And nothing's gonna hold us down. Malibu is calling. It's got the best looking girls around. All day and all night we got no troubles. Everything is fine. Love is here. That's summertime.
Malibu Beach. It's got car races, pretty faces, weightlifters, sand kickers, stone cops, stolen tops, high divers, shuckin' jivers, nice pairs, shark scares. So whether you're into hanging 10 or hanging out, Malibu Beach is the place to do it. A beautiful strip of sand, 100 yards wide, and a whole summer long. Malibu Beach.
So we get into the movie, Chris. That logo comes up.
Ugh.
The Crown logo. We know we're in good hands.
I get chills when I see it.
By the way, the Crown logo now, the Crown logo is like a hidden Mickey. For Disneyland.
It is. It really
because
is.
Because you're going to see it a few times in each Crown movie.
Yeah, it's true.
They're going to find some creative way, whether it's Crown International Airlines, whether somebody's wearing a shirt. You'll always see the Crown logo kind of pop up once in a while. But you got to keep your eyes open. They're like those hidden Mickeys, you know?
Yeah, right. Crown like, condoms. Oh, they don't wear those in the Crown movies.
Yeah,
let's
no, come on, Chris.
Who am I fucking kidding?
Crown
come on.
Condoms. Get out of here. Jesus Christ.
We want to feel
the
worst.
This is the 70s, kid. What are you talking about? You know, the worst thing that happens to you, it burns a little bit, and then you're done with it. So, Chris, the bell rings. Kids run out. School is out.
Yep.
Nothing's going to hold us down. Kids are jumping around, right?
Yeah.
This would piss me off, though. So kids are, they're jumping around the parking lot. Papers are flying up, you know. Every movie where kids get out of school, like, all of a sudden they're throwing their notebooks in the air and everything. Because they're like, well, fuck this. I don't need it anymore. I was pissed about this, is that cheerleaders are doing a cheer in front of the school, like, in the parking lot.
Yeah, what the fuck is that all about?
And they're blocking fucking cars.
Yeah, and people are,
I wanted some guy to, like, be honking, like, get the fuck out of the way. Like, I'm trying to go home. You know, Jesus Christ.
You know, if I were directing this, the greatest gag I could come up with is if he tries to drive through them, the next scene, next cut is of them on the hood, still in that routine. Still tearing away. Like they're doing like the pyramid and everything.
Give me an A. I wish they named the school Omarosa. That's what I was hoping for.
Oh, yeah.
And then we see fucking Scott Daniels is the star of this movie, but now his name is Bobby.
Yeah.
It's like, do you think that they were like, hey, you know, we can get Stuart Goetz from the van back in the movie to play Bobby again. And the producer goes, oh, no, no, no.
So much red.
That kid, oh, my God. Kid, let me tell you something. The van was a big success for us, but I got to tell you, I've never had so many phone calls with people telling me they got soft during the movie. So many fucking freckles on screen. And let me tell you something. They don't like the redheads. They like the women in right. redheads. They don't like the men. So,
yeah. yeah.
Maybe you can find a more chiseled guy. Yeah, maybe that guy in Animal House.
Yeah, I heard they find it unbelievable with a redhead guy. That's what I've been told.
You know, let's get somebody the ladies would like to look at, you know, because we found the van was very big with men that drive vans, men that like to peep through women's locker rooms. But we couldn't get any women to watch the movie. They felt that we portrayed them unfairly. I mean, I don't see it. It's 1977. They got all the rights they need. You know, they can vote now. Him and the boys, right, Chris?
Right.
They're playing football in the park, you know, just like boys will do, you know, throwing the old pigskin around, oh, playing God. A little grab ass.
A lot
they
of
all got the short shorts on like they're Chris in elementary school,
That's
you know.
Right.
And I really get pissed off. I'm like, fuck you, Scott Daniels. This guy's leaning against his car at one point. He's got a fucking toothpick in his mouth. And I'm like, I hope you fucking swallow that, you son of a bitch. That is one thing I can't fucking stand is like a character in a movie who will like have a toothpick in his mouth.
I know.
I'm like, you don't look like anything but a fucking jackass holding the toothpick in your mouth all the time. I hope you fucking swallow that and die.
I know. Unless your character is a tow truck driver or a farmer, I don't buy it.
I hate it. Like, put a cigarette in his fucking mouth. It's the 70s, yeah. you know? Get a piece of wood out of there. So, holy fucking shit. The cheerleaders, this is great, right? So this is how we start the movie out. The cheerleaders go to some girls in a car, and they're like, hey, where are you going? And they go, the beach. What beach?
Malibu Beach.
Oh! We're gonna get
what beach?
All right, let me tell you something, kid. I want you to put the title right in the beginning of the movie. We're going to open, and it's going to say, where are we going? The beach. Where? What the poster says. The poster that we made before the movie was written, Malibu Beach. They need to know what movie they're watching, okay? If you don't keep saying Malibu Beach over and over, they're going to get confused. Because, by the way, next week, we're also releasing a movie called Malibu High.
Being filmed at the same time.
And we're also using the same locations, believe it or not. You might see somebody running down a certain set of stairs later in this movie.
Yeah.
At one point, you just see the crew for Malibu Beach filming. Malibu High filming.
You see Kim, like the back of Kim, falling over a rock.
You just see Kim's belly
slumped over a rock.
So we get the theme song, the Crown theme song. Now, we were singing that there in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
School is out and nothing's gonna hold us down. Malibu is calling.
We've been playing it this whole episode. This School Is Out song that is played in, like, Beach Girls. I mean, 1978 as much as been, like, when they wrote this song. And they were just like, you know, oh, we got it. The Crown song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, so when they call, we went through this in a past episode. When
right.
somebody calls Crown International, their tagline when they answer the phone is,
right.
every woman has a price.
Right.
Which we find out is what Crown believes. Obviously not our opinions, but... the Crown officers disagree. But I think the hold music is probably this song. Like when you're put on hold for hours at Crown, it just loops the School's Out song over and over.
And you're still on 3 a.m. The song is still playing.
School is out. So then we see lots of bikini butts. Okay. We get a lot of butt shots.
Mm-hmm.
We know we're at the beach. And then, oh my God, we see our first shot of Dugan. Now, okay, so Chris, Dugan apparently comes to this beach every day. He's a borderline homeless man, which we'll find out soon.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's fallen on hard times in those past 6 months.
Yeah, he shouldn't have fucking rolled his van at the end of the van.
But Dugan has apparently brought a full bench press to the beach today. Now, it won't be here every day, but today he's dragged down, which, by the way, now Dugan doesn't drive a van. He drives a motorcycle.
Yeah.
So I want to see the shot of him driving this bench press down. Like, what was he doing? Like, towing it with a rope, like jocks, you know? Like, towing it.
There's, like, sparks flying everywhere. There's, like...
He's got a goddamn bench press. He got a fucking solar plex going down to the fucking beach, you know?
Why do you have to bring that to the beach?
Yeah, he's on the sand with it, lifting weights from a bench press. And I write, of course he does. And then there's some old guy we'll never see again who's the lifeguard, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I guess he's the lifeguard, but then he comes up and this new girl's the lifeguard, right?
Yeah.
And we can't tell she's a lifeguard because she's not wearing her uniform. She's not wearing the red lifeguard suit.
No, she's not.
She's just wearing a tiny little bikini, and she has, like, a little paper cutout that says lifeguard, like, taped to her her bottoms. And the guy's even, like, you know... And then, by the way, this man...
Who is this guy?
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought he was like the another lifeguard coming to like hey, welcome to your first day on the job.
He must be. Because he's wearing the red shorts.
Okay.
Also, he looks like fucking George Hamilton, this guy. Like, yeah. I've never seen a man so goddamn close to skin cancer. It's insane.
Yeah.
His skin is literally like wrinkling off his body. Like, he looks like a goddamn raisin. This
he does.
Motherfucker. And he's like, so he's introducing like, hey, you're new to the beach. By the way, that's that is definitely not the uniform. Yeah.
Have you ever had teriyaki chicken and left it out? That's what this man's skin looks like.
So he's like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to exit this movie. That's the wrap. He died a few days later.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this man, the chemo didn't work out.
So. God damn it.
So Dugan comes up to talk to the new lifeguard.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, they get into some useless conversation, but it ends with him saying, I'll be around. You just whistle when you're ready. He's just listening all day for a whistle. And then Dugan's like, did you hear? Hey, kid, did you hear a whistle? No. All right. Just checking. But when Dugan has his eyes on a woman, he's a lot like Bobby from the van, Chris. He doesn't let it go.
No, he can be quite the charmer we've seen in this scene.
Oh, boy.
By charm, I mean, you know, come on really strong and just not let up.
So then we get that famous crown shot that we've seen in multiple other movies we've covered on this podcast. Like Chris said, there's literally parts of this movie in other movies where the dog steals a bikini top.
Mm.
But it originates from this movie.
Right.
And we know that because we see the same shot we've seen in other movies, but now the dog runs past Dugan. So we know that it originates in this movie.
I would have loved to have seen Dugan in the background of Beach Girls.
That would have been great. He's at that party.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's just pounding left and right.
You know what's amazing, though, is that this dog, we're going to find out, has no owner. Like, there's nobody that controls this dog. It just goes to the beach every day and steals tops, I guess, for its own dog pervert pleasure.
You know, dogs and their sense of smell, you know.
This dog is the horniest fucking dog you've ever met. Yeah. I mean, obviously not fixed. You know, they have police reports about this dog. You know, he's been in the overnight clink a few times. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Been in that drunk tank. So then Dugan hits on this lady reading a book, right?
Yeah.
But I love this. So he walks up to her and she's reading a book and he goes, well, what are you doing? And I'm like, what the fuck do you think, you dumb shit? She's reading a fucking book. Hey, what are you doing?
I'm just reading the book. Yeah, it's good book. It's pretty good.
And then Bobby arrives at the beach, right?
Right.
And he makes out with some girl who is the waitress from Van Nuys. She has a bumper sticker on her car, by the way, that says Cure Virginity.
Yeah.
Which,
oh, boy. Oh, the 70s.
These broads, I'll tell you, they're wild. This girl, she's got a sticker that says Cure Virginity on her car. She's so crazy. Which, by the way, would not invite rape.
Not in the slightest.
That is a horrible bumper sticker for a woman to have on her car. Like, I can only imagine the negative attention you're going to receive for that. You know, every time she goes to the grocery store, some guy's like, oh, Cure Virginity, huh? Yeah.
He's like, bo-yo-yo-yoing. He's holding up like a cucumber just bought and he's deep-throating it.
So then the dog steals another top. Then just various hijinks happen around the beach, you know?
Yeah.
I guess Bobby fucks this waitress on the beach. Her top is off.
It is.
I mean, like, they're like, okay, no, like, cover, really. They've put down a giant umbrella in front of them, but obviously that doesn't protect who can see you from the side.
Oh, by no means.
Or behind.
Yeah.
And they're just, you know, he's got her boobs out, and he's just going to town. For all I know, they're fucking on the beach.
Yeah, why not?
It's crazy, these kids. I'll tell you the things I've seen down at that beach, son. So... they're fucking on the beach, and then some boy comes up, you know, and he like, steals the towel or something, and he's like, ooh. Then, okay, so the lady lifeguard, right? The lifeguard, Dina. I love this part, Chris. The only reason I wrote this down. So she gets on the bullhorn, and she starts yelling at a jet ski.
Yeah.
And she calls it, and I'm going to quote this,
a wet bike.
Yeah, a wet bike, which is...
What the fuck? Was that ever a term?
Not that I've ever heard.
Like, I always thought of them as, like, jet skis or Sea-Doos.
Yeah.
I never heard it referred to as a, quote, wet bike.
Never.
Never, never, never. That's a little too close to something else.
I don't know what you call... You know those things that those guys go around on in the water? It, I don't know. You know what I'm talking about, kid?
Not really, no.
No, no, come on. It's like a bike, but it's wet.
It goes really fast. And, goes around in circles.
Yeah, get some of them wet bikes.
Oh, yeah, I'll be right on this.
And you see the lifeguard. She's like, what does this mean? Wet bike? What am I yelling at? Just read the lines, honey. So then Bobby, he's playing football now, and he accidentally like throws it near Dugan. And he's giving this lady a body massage now because That book was not interesting.
No.
And then Dugan gets like all pissed for some reason. He's like, yeah, this kid, this is going to be the conflict in this movie. I don't like him. Why don't I like him? I'm not sure, but I don't. Then like the waitress, there's a lot going on in the beginning of this movie. So the waitress leaves. We'll like barely, we'll never see her and Bobby together again.
No.
She came to the beach like they're old friends or like a couple because she starts like kissing him and everything. And she's like, oh, hey, Bobby.
Everything on this beach is very casual. We learn in this film. Everything
is like, hey, you want to go fuck on the towel?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, I don't have anything else to do. It's my job to cure virginity.
You're a virgin, right? I just need to know. Or else no deal.
Oh, today. Is that something that resets every 24 hours?
Yeah.
Sun goes up, sun goes down, virginity anew.
Yeah, I heard you. I'm a born-again virgin, man, just so you know.
In the 70s, every day is a new day. A new dawn of virginity,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
This is, you know, you, like I said, the worst you can get is a little itch.
Well, yeah, once the itch goes away, you're a virgin again.
Yeah, there you go. And so then... Everybody's leaving the beach. I guess it's time to leave, right? And then Dugan convinces this teacher to come with him on this motorcycle. And she says, I just met you today. And I write, I'm 90% sure that this is the last ride she will ever take. And I will be right. I guess Dugan sold the van, by the way, because now he rides on a motorcycle.
Okay. I think it was impounded by the cops at the end of the van.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
He's fallen on tough times. Very Sally tough has time. Left for Bobby.
Yeah.
Or she might have died. I don't know. I have a feeling that Sally wasn't long for this world. I have a feeling that Sally was big into the old drugs.
Yeah.
So Dugan takes this lady back to his, quote, place, right? Now, his place is basically just a garage that he must rent from people or just beat up some guy and says, I'm gonna live here whether you like it or not. It is just kind of plastered with like bodybuilding pictures that he's cut out from magazines.
Yeah, I love
like,
that there's really no picture of women in there.
No. And he's got like a velvet picture of like a lion.
Yeah.
Like a tapestry of a lion. And then he shows her his favorite plant, which is just some dead plant. And we watch Dugan try to like do fucking stand up for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's painful.
And it sets the precedent for the rest of this film.
Yeah,
because
this is when I write in my notes, if Dugan is the main character of this movie, we are in fucking trouble. Then they try to make out, but Dugan's couch collapses. That couch that he found for free on the freeway here in L.A., he brought back home with his... He just tied a rope to it and drove it with his motorcycle, sparks and all.
Yeah.
By the way, if you don't know this, I don't know if this happens anywhere else, but in L.A., everybody... I'll tell you, I can't tell you how many times I've driven on, like, the 101 or something, and there's, like, a fucking lazy boy out there. Like, people just...
How many times? Yeah, man.
People just throw their fucking, like, couches. Like, instead of just putting it out front, people, like, put it on the side of the freeway.
I never got that.
It's very odd.
Or they were driving and it fell
off. You
know
what I mean, though, right?
Yeah, or it fell off
the car. No, but it's always, like, nicely put on the side.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is it fell off and then maybe CHP got out and put it on the side of the freeway.
It must be.
It had to have been that. I'm not going to go out to the freeway to drop off my furniture. It just doesn't make sense.
Somebody's like, I need to get rid of a lazy boy. What do I do? And they're like, oh, I see on the 101. You just drop it off.
Yeah.
Somebody will get it.
Yeah.
Just put it in a lane. It's not like we don't have enough traffic.
Yeah.
You know? They make out that couch collapses. And then she tries to leave smartly, right? But he won't let her. And then she finally gets out of his clutches, his gorilla-like clutches, and leaves this garage. And Dugan looks at the camera and he's like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I kiss a lady, she gets uptight. And I write, I think I know a lot of things wrong with you, Dugan. Like,
And I like this inner dialogue is now out loud.
Like, maybe you should have asked, like, man, can we go back to your place instead of taking her back to your fucking trash can of a home
yeah.
with fucking found couches? Like, what?
This really woos them.
And this girl, by the way, is a school teacher. By the way, that's a wrap on the teacher. I don't think that she made it out of Dugan's driveway, to be honest. I think that he might have been digging a 6-foot hole that night. Or maybe just, you know, making a little deposit at the old LA River, if you know what I mean.
Before making a deposit inside of her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is before forensics, Chris. This is before DNA.
Yep.
The cold case is opened on Dugan at some point in time. Yeah. All of these DNA samples. And then all of a sudden it becomes something like, well, we can start going through the backlogs of the cold cases we have here at the LAPD. Boy, it keeps pointing back to this one guy. So Bobby and his friend, I don't even know the fucking friend's name. This guy's just there for some fodder. They like stop to help these girls fix a flat tire. And I noticed Bobby's wearing a fedora. Of course this guy is. Yeah. And I was thinking, like, in the van, the only thing Bobby needed was a fedora on that poof. That would have been
and
incredible.
And a trench coat.
And he's doing that goddamn Scott Daniels smile this whole fucking movie. Basically, the scene ends. The girls just drive away. And Bobby's friend gets in the car and he says, quote, let's get them. And I write, I'm afraid for how this is going to end. We'll now have 3 dead women in the first 10 minutes of this movie. Basically, they offer to buy him a beer, right?
Yeah.
So when we go to a bar, we see a crown dance scene for a while because apparently 96 minutes isn't a fucking enough for them.
A real Van Nuys Boulevard moment, too. Ugh.
It's just like Van Nuys. Like, you would think they just fucking cut in the same footage.
The same beats, everything.
Yeah. So then we see, although we didn't see the Kansas City Glitter Girls. That would have been great.
Or jail. Although I felt like I was in jail watching this.
So, yeah, this movie is premiering over in Redondo Beach, North Dakota, and penitentiaries across the country.
They have no choice but to watch it.
He sells the leftover reels to the federal government.
That's for rehabilitation purposes.
Okay, I write, I'm interested to now know what fucking plot is going to develop in the last 20 minutes of this movie, because we're almost 20 minutes in and I don't see any semblance of anything.
No.
Then I also noticed that Bobby is wearing, the hidden Mickey. He's wearing a Crown International t-shirt in this scene. I don't know if you noticed that, Chris, but
I did.
Wow.
I did. I was like, I want one.
I know. I have one, but it's not like this one.
Yeah, this one is yellow with a black print.
Great. It's very 70s.
I don't think it even says Crown International
Kid,
on the
bottom. Put this shirt on. And they're like, don't you think this is blatant advertising? Kid, what the fuck? Shut the fuck up and put on this. People need to know where this movie came from. Those prisoners, when they get out, they're going to be interested in going to see movies. They need to know who made it.
Yeah.
Okay, basically, they're sitting around making out with these girls, or at least Bobby's making out with this one girl. And then they go to the bathroom, and his friend is like, hey, man, can we switch? This girl over here is a real cold fish. And I wrote, you know, you can fish fucking trade women like baseball cards, you know?
Shuffle them around, you know?
It's just real shuffling situation. Yeah, you know, man, fuck it. I made out with her for a while. It's your turn.
Mike, it's either shuffle the women or shuffle the knuckle, all right?
The women are shuffling up. But smartly, the girls take off. They're like, you know, we've had enough. We're not a deck of cards, you know. So they leave, and then Bobby says, hey, you know what? You just need to, like, ease her into it before putting on his fedora and leaving with some road beers. Yep. Road beers. So these fucking guys, this guy says, oh, yeah, you know, you want to make out with a girl, you just need to ease her into it, as he eases a fucking fedora on his head. And then they walk over to the bar, grab a few PBRs in the can, and get in the car.
And start throwing them down.
I'm like, excuse me, road beers? And then also, wait a second. Didn't these kids just graduate from high school?
Yeah. Yeah,
again,
not?
We bring up this in the van. I'm sorry, what was the drinking age in 1978 in L.A.?
I can look this up
18?
Right now.
18? Because these fucking guys, I mean, it's 21 now.
Yeah.
And by the way, drinking and driving was never legal at any point. And you know what? What's a good thing? Make that movie for the kids. Tell them, hey, kids, you know what? They drink and drive in the movies. Go ahead and do it on your own. So we go to the store, right, Chris?
Right.
So the road beers weren't enough. They go to the fucking grocery store, and his friend runs out with a six-pack, more road beers, and they start drinking while driving because it's 1978 and we just don't give a fuck. Also, I wrote, wait a second. So they got road beers at the bar, but then we needed a whole nother scene of them getting more road beers? Just
God, Jesus.
Cut to them driving and drinking. Oh, no. Two ain't going to do it. You know, we need to get a six-pack. So then they go to the beach, right?
Right.
Some little night beach. Everyone's gathered at Malibu Beach for the old night beach party. Some guy tries to rape a girl while she's playing frisbee. Joints are smoked. Wieners are roasted. And then we get introduced to these two characters we couldn't care fucking less about, is these two cops, right? So there's like a portly cop and a skinny cop. You know, that's, I don't
a
even
real
know their
Laurel,
names.
Laurel and Hardy, yeah. Dynamic, yeah.
A real L&H, you know. And so the portly one says, like, hey, I got some official business to take care of around the block. He says, why don't you go over to that beach and see if there are any rapes happening. He actually
he
says.
He does.
Why don't you go see if there's any rapes happening or drugs, you know? Just get out of my face.
Yeah.
And so then we see, like, so the portly cop goes into this bar, right? And the bartender looks at him. He's like, hey, you want the usual? And so I guess what the usual, the official police business is.
Yeah, milk and vodka?
So he like pours him a milk, I guess, so he can pretend to like be drinking milk, you
right.
know? No, Chris, he pours some fucking J&B scotch.
Okay.
And I write, milk and scotch? That's the most fucking disgusting mix of alcohol and another beverage I've ever heard of.
Well, I had Captain Morgan's and orange Gatorade once.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't know what I was thinking. I was.
Could you imagine going to the bar and just being like, yeah, I'll get a scotch with a milk back? Yeah, how was your Captain Morgan and Gatorade?
Not good. No, I mean the effect was just as strong. I just the taste, it was just all I had.
That sounds like a real high school situation.
No. It was at work. So
hey, you take what you can get, you know.
Yeah.
Over at the old Stop and Frisk tent.
No, it wasn't that job. It was another job, but
so then the skinny cop, he like sneaks around and he tells all these kids you're going to be arrested, and then basically they just give him a joint and he's going to get high. That's all that happens.
Yeah. Boo hoo.
He's also introduced to some girl and they're going to have some love story nobody gives a fuck about. So then he just leaves. This goes nowhere. And then those two girls with the flat tires come up, right?
Yeah.
So they meet Bobby and the friend, and they go for, quote, walks, right? And so Bobby, within 5 seconds, is already fucking this girl on the beach because, you know, I write, now this is what's interesting, right? Bobby has fucked two women on the same beach in the same day in maybe the same spot.
Maybe it's like a ritual for him.
Like, Jesus Christ, man.
Like Splooge marks the spot every time he goes back to the same area. It's like sacred ground for him.
Beach fucking. This is the only way he can get it up.
Yeah, the sounds of the waves.
Can we go to the beach? I know this is going to sound really weird, but I need that sand in my ass, you know? Then his friend and this other girl, they talk. It fucking sucks.
It
and then
nowhere.
Dugan shows up.
Yeah.
Because then I go, oh, holy shit. This girl's the lifeguard? I didn't even realize that until this part. This is the girl that's the lifeguard.
Right.
I didn't realize that
really?
Until this part in the movie when Dugan shows up.
Right.
And for no reason, he, like, gets all mad, and he comes over, and he's, like, you know, going to assert his manhood. And he, like, yells at this guy. And then what's he call him, Chris?
Oh, it's a turd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we get the line from the van, nobody but nobody calls Doogie a turd.
Yeah.
And all right, what the hell is Dugan even doing here? Shouldn't he be burying that fucking teacher?
Yeah. What is he doing out at night? Like, we worked out all day, and usually you're tired, you want to go home, you know, escort went off.
What the fuck is he doing? Just, like, trolling that beach in the dark looking for a lonely girl laying on the sand? Like, maybe she's fallen asleep, maybe she's passed out.
Better yet.
Like I said.
Maybe she's already dead.
The day DNA comes into evidence.
Oh, yeah. Next on hard copy.
Just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of semen samples. I wrote, if this movie ends in a van drag race, I am not going to be surprised. But instead, the cops get back in their car and they leave. Bobby and his friend and the girls, Chris, they share the jug of wine from the van. It makes an appearance
as well.
It does.
It really does. I was excited for that.
It literally is the same jug of wine. I guess in 1970, the late 70s, you would just kind of pass around a big jug of Franzia or whatever the fuck this is, you know.
Yeah, they hadn't figured out the box formula yet.
Where do you even buy a jug of wine this big?
I don't know. BevMo? I don't know.
This is like something you see like sitting on top of an Italian restaurant. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
You go to an Italian restaurant and they got all this shit hanging from the ceiling and there's like a big jug.
Yeah, it's like a novelties motif.
Like this thing is huge. It's like 4 gallons of wine. Like who's gonna pop the top and this?
I think it's gonna be like how long are you gonna drink that
you would
for?
Have to share it. Yeah. I mean honestly you'd have to share this
thing. That's not gonna be like last for like a week.
It's just marketed as just shareable wine. So then they decide to go skinny dipping, right? And the prude girl, the lifeguard doesn't want to go at first. Mm-hmm. And I write, this is just fucking Beach Girls at this point. This is literally a scene where the guy who plays Bobby in this movie as Scott Daniels tries to go convince a girl who doesn't want to go skinny dipping to go skinny dipping.
Mm-hmm.
But then she relents, she goes in, and then they do the old card swap, and the friend takes the girl who's ready to fuck on the sand. She's ready for round two, and she wants some fresh meat.
Mm-hmm.
So Bobby's friend goes with her, and Bobby's stuck with this lifeguard girl. And then there's a stupid part where her clothes get... The lifeguard girl's clothes get
taken
in.
They get washed
in.
The shore washes them in, and just... Oh no, whatever shall she do?
And then Bobby like basically gives her sweater, which is still dry, and then they share some jug wine. And then basically they just drop her off at her house, and we watch her brush her hair for a good 3 minutes. And then Bobby shows up outside her window and waves.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, great. I write, okay, Chris, we are 40 fucking minutes into this movie. Literally nothing has happened except people going to the beach, Dugan probably murdering a teacher off screen, and a girl brushing her hair.
Yeah, this is like almost halfway. Halfway done. No plot.
Oh my god.
No conflict.
It's morning at the beach now.
Yeah.
The lifeguard shows up. Dina shows up for work. And then some guy's running along the beach, and I can see the steps from Malibu High in the background. Malibu High.
Are you serious?
Yes, Malibu High. Wow. One of the first movies we covered on this podcast. You can see the steps that Kim ran down at the end of that movie to the Night Court theme song, which, by the way, is the Night Court theme song that has been proven.
Yes.
Because the guy who wrote the song for Malibu High wrote it for that movie, and Crown didn't pay him to buy the song. So he resold it to Night Court and probably made a fucking shitload of money.
Nice. I feel like we need a grind bin field trip to these stairs.
Yeah, the Malibu steps.
Just so I can just film me running down them and then slump over a rock.
And this is what I wrote, you know, if I see Kim running down those steps and a camera crew filming, I will not be surprised. Look, kid, we got the beach for a day. We need to film 2 movies at the same time. So you go here, you go here.
You're going to be holding the camera. I know you have a line, but you still got to hold the camera for this one.
Yeah, that would have been great if we just saw the police snipers in the background, too. So it's later. Now everyone's back at the beach. Dugan's lifting his weights. He didn't bring the bench press today. He must have just brought it home. Or maybe it didn't. Maybe it just got dropped off at the 101 at some point.
Sparks flying everywhere.
So then we see like a kid. He's trying to hit on all these women, and he runs up to Dina, and he says, "You know, you got big tits for a lifeguard." Then he just goes far out in the water, Chris, and he plays the old trick that I'm sure Chris has done.
Well, in that age, it wouldn't have been a trick because I really couldn't swim back then. I didn't learn how to swim until high school.
So you'd often go to the beach, and if you saw an attractive lifeguard lady, you would be like, well, time to go swim.
It's like, it's now or never, Chris. Now or never.
This is like a real Sandlot move, I guess.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. So like basically he pretends to drown. She goes out there and saves them, and then everybody's watching, and Dugan comes over and beats this kid up because he's like, don't play around. And then we also know it's 1978. If you're a woman in the workplace, watch out, because there's like a drink stand at this beach.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy is always like slapping girls' asses when they come up to order drinks. or like the girl he works with, he's always groping her.
Like, come on, it's the beach. We're having fun.
And she's like, haven't you ever heard of sexual harassment? He's like, what? Sexual what? Sex. Boing, boing, boing.
That we can do.
She says that line. She goes, haven't you ever heard of sexual harassment? You hear just boing. Yeah, so the girls from last night, the one girl, the lifeguard's friend, now she's there, right?
Yeah.
And we have to watch Dugan hit on the lifeguard for a while, and then Bobby's... This all goes nowhere, right? And then the cops show up, the portly cops, says it's 5 o'clock somewhere, so he walks off to that bar to just get fucking plastered drunk for his day. You know,
God bless him.
Look, by the way, Rampart Division, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. You want to know the cops that met Rodney King? Ooh, I think I got a good idea. So this guy, yeah, he's just going to get pissed drunk and drive around as a cop while his skinny friend goes and hits on some girl. The dog steals another top. Bobby and his friend, they just go. This is fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they go into the bathroom, and then the girls are like, oh, the women's room's disgusting. And they, like, go, well, let's go into the men's room. And then Bobby's in there either waiting to kill him or scare him or something. And then he just walks out with both of them, and Dugan's there, and he's all mad and challenges them. And I guess this is going to be the plot of this movie, is that there's going to eventually be a fight between Dugan and Bobby for no fucking reason.
There's no, where's the origin? This is because of Tina? That's a very light plot device.
Tina.
Very light conflict.
Dina.
Dina is her name? Yeah, I always heard Tina.
No, her name's Tina. Isn't Tina the girl from the van?
Yeah, but I thought it was in this movie, too.
You can't name her the same thing. Just change it to a D. Tina,
see,
Dina.
That's where I got thrown out. I'm like, all right, Tina, cool. This will be easy to remember again.
I mean, none of this. This is all so fucking stupid. It's like, Dugan, okay, this lifeguard girl doesn't want you. She's not interested in you. Leave her the fuck alone. But he just won't stop. He's like, I know this ginger kid. He used to just hit on my ex-girlfriend over and over and over again, and eventually it worked, so I'm just going to try that.
Same playbook.
And so, like, for some reason, Dugan wants to fight him because, like, what? The girl all of a sudden is going to like him? Like, I don't understand the logic.
He's got to prove his machismo. You know, like, he's got established dominance.
Yeah, like, if I beat this man up, then this girl who doesn't like us fighting will come around eventually. Or I'll just hit her over the head with my club.
My homie the clown club.
Yeah, and I'll just take her back to that garage from that skinny guy that I beat up and live in his garage. I see Dugan as like a real Biff Tanner type character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So basically, this all really goes nowhere. Bobby and Dugan are going to compare whose dick's bigger. So he's like, all right, well, let's race. And Bobby goes over to his car or his truck. Mm-hmm. Bobby drives around in like a doorless Jeep with the fucking hood off of it so he can expose his engine.
Yeah.
He looks like a real fucking idiot, this guy. Either that or like some sort of weird mailman. He's driving around on a mail truck with no hood on it or something.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, my car's blocked. So I'll just steal this fucking cop car. So he gets in the cop car, which the cops have left the keys in, and he starts it. And then Dugan, I guess, steals a car from this dork guy. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to drag race all of 10 feet because there's a goddamn fucking brick wall at the end of this parking lot. And apparently they're going to see whose car goes 0 to 60 the fastest in the length of like a tiny little parking lot. They're going to drag race. How is this going to end?
No idea.
Well, they both just crash through this wall and Bobby flips a cop car and the cops come out and look at it and they go like, holy fuck. And Bobby just kind of climbs out of the car and all these people are looking around and the cops are like, what happened to the car? And he's like, oh, I don't know. And then Bobby gets in his Jeep, drives away, and there are no consequences for any of this.
Never. No one answers to anything in this movie.
And by the way,
no answers.
Dina just leaves. She leaves with Bobby. Yeah. So I guess the shift's over. No more lifeguard needed.
Right.
You know, if a kid drowned that day, she'd be in deep shit. But they just drive off onto some desert, and Bobby's like, yeah, it's the greatest day of my life. No repercussions. Then we go to night. So basically,
Bobby, his friend, and the girls, they go to a bar which looks very suspiciously like the bar from Chesty Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very, very suspiciously like the exact bar they filmed Chesty Anderson, U.S. Navy.
Yeah.
With the porthole windows on the side and everything. And they, you know, then we just see this nerd guy trying to make out with the Van Nuys waitress. Mm-hmm. And he uses the Bobby from the van logic where if you just keep going for it, she'll eventually say yes. Because he keeps trying to make out with her because he's like, hey, let me drive to your car. And she's like, all right, well, it's just around the block. And he's like, yeah, sure. What we don't see is probably a scene of her being like, well, this is nowhere where my car is.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
But he just like keeps trying to plant one on her. And she's like, no, no. And he's like, oh, come on. You know, here's the Bobby logic, right?
Right.
You go in for the kiss. She says no. You sit back. One, two, three. Go again.
Yeah.
She says no. One, two, three. Go again. Until eventually she says yes, which she does. And then I guess, you know.
Wing, bang, bam.
That's a wrap on waitress. We'll never see her again.
Yep.
I think there's a lot of dead women in this movie, Chris. Lot of deaths off screen, you know.
Malibu Beach body count. 78.
So then they get in the Jeep. I say this bar scene literally offered nothing. I mean nothing.
Mm-mm.
There's 30 minutes left in this movie. What the fuck is the plan? Crown, please. What are we going to do? This is what I wrote. This is just leftovers from other movies. Like,
it is.
All right, kid.
It is.
Look, we got a lot of extras from all these other movies we filmed over the years. We're thinking maybe you could do your magic here and kind of cut some film together and make another one. We're going to show it in it's going to be shown in 2 theaters. But hey, by the way, if anybody calls up, if the fucking press calls up, you don't say that. The line you say is, it's playing coast to coast. Yeah. All the way from the largest areas of Los Angeles all the way to the northern plains of North Dakota. And to civil servants around the country. So they just cut together an extra movie full of Crown leftovers, and they were like, oh shit, 96 minutes, boy.
Literally, it really is. It's so bad.
And then basically, so this ends with them just like breaking into a bumper car place and driving around for a while until they get caught with fucking blurry footage.
Oh, yeah. Right.
What is this? Just fucking leftovers from Van Nuys? Like,
this is like the cut. This is the deleted scenes of like the 4-hour cut of Van Nuys and the van.
This is, I mean, we're almost at the end of this movie, but I have to tell you, I had so much hopes for this movie, and I was hoping, because I was in not a great mood when I watched this movie, but afterwards I'm like, this is the worst fucking thing I've ever
it's
seen.
Bad.
Like, we talk about movies not having plots and it still being entertaining, and I'm like, okay, well, either we finally cross the line into I've just seen too many of these plotless messes lately, or this is just fucking madness.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
Agreed.
We go back to the beach, Chris.
Can you imagine this is a double feature with Van Nuys Boulevard?
Hopefully they played this second. I mean, hopefully.
Yeah.
So you could just fucking leave. Or, like, you've been fucked out, so you just pass out in your chair. And by the end of the movie, you wake up and you're like, oh, it's fucking time to go home. Yeah. All right. Well, whatever. Are you ready to go? Are you watching this?
Can I change it?
And people at the drive-in have changed their radio from the movie audio to just, like, Led Zeppelin's now playing. They're not even listening anymore.
No, it's like the time is now 11:50 p.m.
God. So they just pull up to the beach, and all these people are making out. There's a VW bug rocking and rolling. Mm-hmm. I mean, rocking back and forth.
Oh, yeah. And she's quite vocal in this vehicle, if you remember.
Chris, what I wrote was, I think the 8-track from the van
is
playing.
It's back.
In one of these cars. Because it sounds like the same audio. You think it is?
It's got to be. As we referred to it before, I called it the Sisterhood of the Traveling 8-Track Player.
It definitely made its way into this movie.
Yeah, we've seen it in Savage Streets.
It's definitely here.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So then it's the next day.
Thank
We're
God.
At a gas station that looks
very, very suspiciously like that gas station across the street from Joe's Super Duper that Archie Bunker owns in Gas Pump Girls.
And that's in Sacramento, right?
Yeah, but it does look very similar. Yeah. And I was like, oh boy, another little tie-in here. Mm-hmm. And then, thank God, the saving grace of this fucking movie, Bill fucking Adler pulls up in the so same good. Fucking van from like Van so Nuys. Good. It looks so fucking similar.
And his outfit, though, is priceless.
Oh, God. Okay, so as I put it, like, leather, like, satin midnight cowboy.
Yeah.
Like,
it's almost like a Rob Halford satin, but no assless chaps.
He's wearing, like, so he has a cowboy hat on.
Right.
And, like, a satin cowboy shirt and, like, black jeans. He looks like Midnight Cowboy. Like, Dustin Hoffman's going to be like, yeah, you want to fuck my friend? Yeah. He looks like fucking John Voight walking down the street. They just start playing that song.
I wish.
And then for some reason, him and this guy, his friend, are like trying to steal oil cans from the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
And
more
then,
oil cans. Maybe this is in collusion for a cocktail.
Oh. And then basically, like, so Bobby's friend, this is the only scene where he's alone. Like, I guess he can exist without Bobby,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Because
he's going to get his own scene. Because they're like, well, we kind of need to give him his time to shine. Nobody knows his name. Nobody really cares about him. But, you know, let's have a little fun. So he just honks his horn, and then Bill Adler and the guy drive off, and the gas hose is still connected to the van.
Yeah.
If only there was a fucking match. You know what I mean? Then we go to the beach. There's just blurry footage of a lifeguard. The dog runs off with another top. Guy in the hot dog stand tries to rape another person because sexual harassment wasn't a thing in 1978. Yep. It was only a word. It was only a phrase. You know?
It wasn't even legislation yet.
So then the dog steals another top, and then we see that the dog has apparently a big pile of tops sitting near a rock. So he just collects these tops daily. Yeah.
This pile is in plain view of everybody, by the way.
Yeah. Because you always see like shots of girls chasing the dog. I guess they give up after 2 seconds and they're like, eh, fuck it. Thankfully, Bill Adler comes back, right?
Thank God.
So Bobby's friend and this girl come back to the car and they see they got a flat tire. And Bill Adler, dressed like the Midnight Cowboy, and his friend is holding a switchblade.
Yeah.
And I write, his friend might be a member of the Silver Daggers. From Thrashin'.
Oh my God.
Because he's dressed just like one of the gangs from Thrashin'. And he's holding the fucking switchblade. And he's got this patch on his jean vest that says sex with a flexing muscle on it.
I saw that. Daggers.
Then we watch a man change a tire for a while. Then, like, he does this prank, so he gets the girl to distract Adler. Mm. And then he puts this hose in Adler's van and I guess turns on the water.
Right.
And then they just drive off, and then Adler opens the door, and him and his friend almost drown in this little bit of water that comes out of the van. And boy, did they put on their best acting, Chris. They're like flopping like dead fish in this water. Yeah. It's just like, oh God. Oh,
Jesus. I swear to God, this is like, let's just do what we did in the van. You know, the van full of water, and you just...
Yeah, okay, so there's only, like, two more scenes in this movie. Thank Christ.
God.
We go to a fucking mansion party, right?
Yeah.
And so, basically, nothing happens. Nothing fucking happens here. But Bobby in his stupid fedora and, like, a fucking jacket full of doves shows up.
Is Prince nearby?
There's just a lot of dancing. The neon sign that says pleasure from Van Nuys is also in this movie.
That's
it's just
right.
hanging in a backyard.
Yeah.
24 minutes left. Any minute now, the impending conflict will probably happen. The girls show up dancing. Dugan's here now for no reason. And this is when I wrote my notes. I'm starting to think this was just leftovers from other Crown movies.
It has to be. This is like they had a scene at the bar in the van, maybe. This was supposed to be the pizza parlor.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, basically, this just ends with Dugan and Bobby getting in another fight.
Yeah.
The only good thing is, so the cops show up and the fight stops.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what's great. When they're getting in that fight, they try really hard not to show what time of day it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
because
God, yeah.
You can clearly see this was an overnight one, and they were like, oh, fuck, kid. We forgot to film the whole scene of them getting in the fight. We're fucked. Look, we only got... Actually, we don't even have a permit to shoot at this house, okay? this house, look, I know the guy. He's out of town for the week. He comes back tomorrow.
Yeah.
This is our one chance. We got to go in that backyard. I know it's dawn now, but we got to go we gotta go film the fight scene.
Yeah.
Because you can clearly see the sun coming up.
Are they trying to make us believe it's going down maybe at one point?
No, because... It's like night, 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 dawn.
Yeah.
And then we cut to the next scene is like, now that the girl's all mad at Bobby because he's getting in fights all the time, so we got to have some conflict or she's just going to leave and get mad. And it's night again.
Yeah.
So they leave at night and they're just fucking driving around. And then we get fucking montages of driving, driving, driving.
God.
Oh, then we go the next day.
Kill me.
So, okay. Apparently now. Oh, yeah. That's right. They both meet at the beach eventually after this montage, and I guess they, like, make out in the sand. Whoopee.
Ooh.
You know, a little Jake Lloyd. Whoopee. Yippee.
Yippee.
And I write, I'm honestly hoping this movie has, like, a 10-minute credit sequence or something. For fuck's sake, please.
Yeah.
Nope. Next day, we pull up to the lifeguard's house, Dina's house. Her parents are leaving for the weekend. And then, like, Bobby's coming over with these groceries.
Yeah, and they fall. He goes, he tries to go down the stairs. They fall down the stairs.
But then the parents are coming back
because
they forgot something.
Yeah.
But here's something for you.
Okay.
Uh-oh, Grindman All-Star. I looked when that dad came in the door, and I said, this dad looks very familiar to me. Uh-huh. With a quick IMDb search, I found out this is the dad from the van.
No! Oh, my God! Oh, my God.
That's right. And I write, do you think the dad just divorced Bobby's mom? And this is his new family? Like, he just moved down the street. Either that or I wrote, uh-oh. Is this Bobby's sister?
Ooh.
I write, she's got a lot of freckles.
Or, that's true.
Or is this Bobby?
Ooh. Because I do have a theory,
like,
but...
the things weren't working out with the women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, huh?
And actually, Bobby realized that there's a reason he wasn't attracted to women is because he's actually a woman himself.
Yeah.
So he got the reassignment surgery.
Right.
He became a lifeguard.
That was a momentous year for him, 1978.
He sold the van to get that reassignment
surgery.
That's
right.
So there you go.
So you pretty much just knocked out of the van ties in with... So let's just skip that part of this movie.
Okay, so basically, they go upstairs, they fuck. All right, there is less than 10 minutes left in this movie. What is the plot? What is it? Like, I'm starting to get really fucking pissed at this point. But we get a post-coital scene where she asks him, she goes, is that the way it's supposed to be? And I write, what?
Is what supposed to be?
What do you mean?
Yeah
the thing goes in the thing. What the fuck? Was that how it's supposed to go? I don't know. You know, I don't know. Do you have any other holes around where I can stick it?
I mean, I see a light socket over there.
You only got three.
I mean, I tried with carving out a Nerf football, and that was all right.
But... Is that how it's supposed to be?
Yeah.
I think so. Then we just, set an egg timer for 9 months? So we go to later, right? They just fucking, they go to the beach and they run out on the pier. This movie is about to end. Yeah. Thank the God in heaven that this movie is about to fucking end.
And apparently they had like a leftover Jaws suit in like the prop department. Like, hey, look what we found for you guys.
Oh my God.
Look what we found for you guys.
You know what? This Jaws suit, Chris, also makes an appearance in Beach Girls.
It does. It does.
We were wondering where they got that suit from.
Yeah, that's true. But we didn't
see... got this leftover suit. We used it in one movie. We spent a lot of money on this suit, by the way. We think it would be nice to throw it in this movie in the 80s. People won't remember.
But we didn't see a giant bottle of ketchup or mustard or like food.
No, they
condiments.
Didn't buy that yet.
Yeah, that's right.
So basically this, you know, his other friend and the girl show up because like we know with Crown Logic in the 70s or 80s, you can find your friend out of the millions of people that live in Los Angeles.
Right.
You can find your friend just by driving around. You'll be like, oh, there's my friend.
Yeah.
No phone calls, nothing.
Just kind of drive around. Oh, there they are. So we go over, Chris, the friend, they drive their Jeep onto the fucking pier, which I guess you can do. Mm. I was like, I'm hoping this movie ends right now with that car just going straight through the wood.
Just breaks
and
right
all
through.
Of them just fucking dying, drowning in that fucking Jeep because they're too stupid to get their fucking seatbelts off.
Yeah.
But no, they just like, they go swimming and then Dugan shows up because again, if you want to find somebody, you just kind of drive around. And then like Dugan challenges Bobby to a race, a swim race. And then Chris.
We've exhausted it.
They go swimming.
Yeah, they go swimming. You know, a shark suit appears. You know, someone wins, I think.
Bobby's friend like dresses up like fucking Jaws, yeah. And he's got like full scuba gear on.
And Dina's like, oh my god, what's that?
Yeah, the girl's like, oh, it's shark, it's shark.
Yeah, that will freak the fuck out.
And like Dugan in fast motion, like goes back to the dock, and then there's a real shark. Okay, this is the best part in the whole movie. So the whole conflict of this movie ends with in the last. Okay. The first act of this movie goes to 94 minutes, and then act two and three are within 2 minutes, is that we have a swim race that is immediately resolved, and the twist of the swim race is that, uh-oh, Bobby's still in the water, and there's a, quote, real shark that comes after him.
Yeah.
He gets up to the dock. He's saved. The shark, I can't even believe they did this. The fakest looking shark you've ever seen in your fucking life doesn't even have a moving mouth. Like, it's just like a shark puppet that they ram into the steps, and then it gets a piece of wood in its mouth, and then it goes back in the water.
Yeah.
And they're playing the Jaws music. Then it just ends.
Yeah.
Dugan goes, I don't get it. I win the race, but I don't win the girl. And then some other lady pulls up and takes him, and then that's it.
I thought that was the older lady from the beginning that takes him.
No, it's a different... Well, Chris, that teacher was found in the L.A. River without a head.
That's right. I thought it was the teacher again for some reason.
No, they found a headless body in the bottom of the L.A. River, and Dugan has the head hanging up on his mantle.
That's right, with antlers that he put into him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then this movie thankfully ends...
Yeah.
Recommendation?
Not really.
No, absolutely not. If you're a Crown completionist, please check it out. Oh my god, do I recommend though, pop open a fresh bottle of something and bring it with you on this one. Or like if you find yourself up late at night, you know, maybe
that's
it's a work
true,
night,
yeah.
Maybe you can't get to sleep, fire this one up, you know, you'll be out in 10 minutes.
I'll watch it on the plane to South Africa. It'd be knocking right out.
I'll tell you what I never needed. I never needed a movie that starred Scott Daniels and had the backstory and fucking side story of Dugan.
Mm.
I just didn't fucking need it. What a goddamn waste of time for the Vanniversary. Fuck this movie. Fuck it to hell. Fuck you, Crown, for giving us your leftovers. And how dare you? How dare you make a 96-minute fucking movie and it's this? Go fuck yourself.
We could have had 96 minutes of the van. They could have like allocated that time, that story, with the actual Bobby. That would have been more worthwhile.
Yeah, this is
opinion.
The van leftovers. This was the whole Dugan side story they never showed in the van.
Yeah,
I
wanted to see Bobby in a shark suit. Like little red puff of hair coming out of the fin. No, I'm sorry. I want to see DeVito in a shark suit. Swimming around.
Oh, God.
And then DeVito trying to outswim a real shark, chasing him around the pier.
So, Chris, let's get into it then.
Okay.
Do you hear that sound?
Nope. But
Chris, you know you heard it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
If this is the first time you've listened to this show, we go back to the first episode, which we highly recommend you don't listen to. 1977's The Van, starring Stuart Gotz and Danny DeVito, about a ginger kid who gets a van, big yellow garish van called the Straight Arrow, which you can apparently buy a toy model of. And he goes around. It's got a waterbed in the back. It's got a toaster. It's got a TV. I don't know what type of reception that TV gets. I didn't see any fucking rabbit ears coming out of that thing or some sort of satellite dish, but what have you. And he goes around trying to lure women into this van with all sorts of amenities so he can have his way with them on that waterbed. Chris, how do you think this fits?
I think the Bobby in this movie, we see him again in another movie called Beach Bros. I think this is his beginning of his shape-shifting origins. I think he is... This is Bobby wearing Scott Daniels' skin.
Like he was... Like... His name is Bobby.
Right. There you go. And
he either got reconstructive surgery or he just was like,
oh, that guy looks nice.
Yeah, and he just wants to be him. He wants to wear his skin, but still be Bobby himself.
He goes, you know what would be nice? You know what would be nice, Andy?
Who's DeVito?
You know what would be nice, DeVito? Is if you could just... I want to know what it's like to just be able to walk around in another man's skin, you know?
Yeah.
To just see what it's like to be wanted by women. To not have to fight for them. To wear a fedora.
To wear the t-shirt of the movie production company.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
And that's it.
Bobby, it would also be nice if I could become a high school kid as well and be your best friend. I could walk around in another man's skin, feel what it's like to be inside there for a while.
Could be inside another man?
You know, Bobby, high school is not kind to me. I'd love to go back.
Try it over again. So you think this is a real shape-shifting type of scenario where Bobby and DeVito are walking around in the skin of other men?
Yes. Without a doubt. Out of doubt.
Well, I told you my theory during the movie. Yeah. I think this is either Bobby's sister, because this is the dad from the band. And surprisingly, he didn't fucking shoot himself in the head at the end of the band, because he sure seemed like he was going.
Yeah, because he says of the band, it's obscene.
So either this is Bobby's sister and Bobby's just gone away for a while, which I really highly believe that's it, or there's a little bit of reconstructive surgery involved. I really think this is probably Bobby's sister.
I'm going to go with you on that one, yeah.
That would just be amazing.
Yeah.
The girl we never saw, Bobby's sister.
Yeah.
How amazing. God. That it's Bobby's sister.
That's the big twist at the end, you find out. Her last name is Hampton.
Yeah, he goes like, Dina, will you marry me? And she's like, yes, Bobby. It's very weird that my brother's also named Bobby. And he goes, well, what's your last name? And she goes, Hampton. Dina Hampton. And then we just see a family photo.
Oh, my God.
And we just kind of pan across it.
To the wedding photo?
A little poof.
Yeah, we cut to the wedding photo.
You cut to the wedding.
Yeah.
And you just hear, and Bobby runs up, and DeVito's putting on the collar because he's also the priest they hire. And he's opening the Bible, running out, and he goes, oh, I'm not late.
No, before I say a word, money up front.
Where's the money? No checks, no checks.
Cash only, please.
Oh my God, Chris, I just thought of something.
Okay.
What the fuck? What if DeVito rolled up, did that fucking wedding with the collar on it, and then immediately after that wedding, he rolls up to the van race and he goes, Bobby, I got the money. You want to know how he got that money? That's how he got the fucking money, Chris. We finally solved it. After a whole year, we finally learned where he got that money.
Yeah. It took a vaniversary to make it happen. 1 year of the van. 1 year of talking about the fucking van.
Now, speaking of the van, Chris, we have a special surprise for everybody for next week. And again, leave us your voicemails. We said the number at the beginning of the show. Please leave us your voicemails to wish us a happy vaniversary. And you can share in the fun of it all, because next week, Chris, now we've recommended a certain movie, weeks ago I said, we always recommend the first movie of this podcast.
Yeah.
Right, the first episode of this podcast.
Right.
Which is The Van. And then weeks ago I decided, I've never even listened to this episode since, like, we put it out. I edited it. Well, I'm gonna fire up The Van, see where we've come from. And I listen to it, I go, oh my God. This is what this show used to be?
The skeletal frame.
Oh my God.
Until we put some meat on the bone.
Also, I don't know how we finished an episode with 50 minutes. That was impressive.
God.
That's
yeah.
how short that episode
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
So the special surprise, everybody, next week, Chris and I will be doing, for the movie,
The Van.
That's right. We're going to be revisiting The Van. We're going to be doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
And we know by now that this episode is going to devolve into theories of what happens with other movies.
Yeah.
I'm sure, I think on a second viewing, we're going to notice a lot of new things
about
The Van.
We've had a year to digest, to theorize, to cauterize certain wounds since then.
But it's happening, everybody. We're revisiting the van.
The van revisited. I'm going to put that in a Matrix font when I do this.
Yeah. So to close out our vaniversary, our 1 year of anniversary, the van revisited.
Yeah, revanited.
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 Now, if you want to get in touch with us, grindhousefilm.com. Join us over there for the great discussion. I've been having new commenters every week. We're getting new people over there. You can also, we're very active on Twitter at GrimePod. Yeah. On Facebook, we have a lot of interaction on there. Great listeners. Like I said, Randy leaves us the most amazing information in each episode. Absolutely incredible. We'd love to just get him on the show at some point. Maybe a little Randy Corner to give us some of this.
Let's do it.
Give us some info on this stuff. He's great. Chris, where else can they find us?
Oh, yes. You can find us. We did the Instagram at GrindPod Podcast. We mentioned Twitter at GrindPod and Facebook, facebook.com/grindbin. Anywhere else? I can't think of it. iTunes, Google Play.
Some basement in France where they listen to this show and nobody ever emails us. France, please, please, somebody call that fucking number, the voicemail number, and leave us a message from France. That would be so amazing.
In French.
I don't care if you fucking speak French or not. And also, as always, our promotion stands for the time being. You know, it's going to run up one day.
Yeah. Oh,
we get more and
true.
More listeners to the show. It's going to run up.
Yeah.
If you rate this show 5 stars and review us on iTunes and you send us a request, we will watch your movie and it will appear on this show.
That's right.
Trying to pick a movie that fits within our boundaries.
Yeah, preferably exploitation realm of film. None of this. Don't send us fucking Rogue One.
It's been a great first part of the vaniversary, Chris. Yeah. It's been a great year of this podcast. Mm-hmm. It's been fun.
Made a lot of good friends, a lot of good connections, a lot of fellow grinders, or grindbinners, so to speak.
And I'll tell you this, too. The surprises don't end
with
next week.
No.
Boy, they they go into March.
They
but
do.
We'll discuss that next week.
Yeah.
When you come and join us for another episode of The Bin.
Yes. And if you would be so kind as to hit subscribe in iTunes, that purple rectangular button, and do it also in Google Play, you will never miss another bin. And Bobby, restart that van.
Hey, Bobby, I got the money.
You're a hooker.
Get that goddamn thing out of your mouth.
I don't know.
This movie ain't got no real coach.
Hello,
Pizzeria.
We're gonna play a little game, baby.
I just love a funny game. Get a little girl, a little hot, horny.
This is Los Angeles.
You could have received